You guys got your Bibles? Anybody have your Bible? I got a real one, and I got a glowing one. They're both real, I guess. If you guys got your Bibles, turn over to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. And we're going to start in verse 18. 139, verse 18. It says this, "O Lord, you've examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to the heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest ocean, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to cover the night, but even in the darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. How you watch me as I was being formed in the utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the darkness of my mother's womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in a book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious. This is kind of where we're going to be hanging out. We're going to come back to it, but just think about this. As we see in verse 1 all the way down to verse 16, he knows everything about us. Now, for some of us, that's a scary thing. Because we know the skeletons. You know everything? Like the whole thing? I don't know if you've ever been caught by your parents before. And then they do that little sneaky thing where they're like, "I know everything." And you're like, "Well, how much of everything do you actually know?" And they're like, "I'm not going to tell you. You're going to tell me. And if it's not completely correct, you're done forever." Like, forever, I'm gonna kill you. Like, what? It's extreme, mom and dad. And so, and then you're kinda like in this like freak out mode, like, I don't want them to know everything. You see, God knows everything about us. The good, the bad, the in-between, the moments that we're proud of, the moments that we're not so proud of. He knows everything about us. And look at what it says in verse 17. How precious are your thoughts towards me? Whew. Oh God, they cannot even be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Whew. Even in our junk, God knows it, and his thoughts are still good towards us. Whew. Man, you guys should get excited. This is good. One more scripture and then we'll pray. Turn over to 1 John. 1 John. And we're going to start in chapter 4 and verse 7. I'm just going to read a couple verses and we'll get into this thing. It says this in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. For God is love. Not God examples love for us. God is the very nature of love. This is who God is. God is love. And then we're going to hop down to verse 19. It says this, we love each other because he loved us first, because he loved us first. This morning, I'm going to title this conversation that we're going to have, Sons and Daughters. Sons and Daughters. Would you guys bow your heads, close your eyes, as we just acknowledge God in this space? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for these moments, Lord. We thank you that it's not about just a worship set. It's not about a message. It's not about anything else but you, Lord. And we just thank you, Father, that as this morning, as we just talk about you and dwell on you and think towards you, I thank you, Father, that our hearts are open to receive. We thank you that we know that you're even in this place right now, Lord, that your presence is so thick and tangible in this place. And we just thank you, Lord, that we just open up our hearts to you now, Lord. Examine it, clean it, Lord, make it anew, Father. And we just thank you for all that you're doing here. We love you in your mighty name. Everybody said, amen. I don't like to go shopping when it's for nothing. I don't know if you guys are like this. It's generally like a gender stereotype, but for me, in my case, it's true. If I'm going to go buy something, you better believe I'm there in a minute. I love to spend money. I mean, I love it. It's weird how much I love it. I really wish I didn't love it as much as I love it, but I love to blow all of my money. I get rid of it. It's stupid. It's not supposed to be my pocket. The purpose of money is to spend it. That's the purpose. And so if you don't know my wife, she has saved me financially. She holds on to it. Why would you spend it on such frivolous things, Michael? I'm like, don't yell at me. I'm a man. She's like, you shut up. And I'm like, all right. And then I shut up. I don't like to just... what is it called? Window shop is what I'm trying to think of. I hate window shopping. It's the stupidest thing ever invented in all the universe. We're just going to go look around at the things that we can't buy. Why? If you cannot buy it, why are you looking? That doesn't make sense to me. Like, can you afford this? Then keep on going. So my wife, one day, she tells me, Mike, I want to just stop by the mall. Why? I just wanted to go peruse. What the heck does that even mean? I legitimately don't know what it means, but a very small vocabulary. So, inevitably, obviously, we're going to go to the mall. I'm married, and I'm still married, so when she wants to go to the mall, we're going to the mall. That's how you stay married, folks. You say, okay, honey, let's go. And then you get in the car and you shut up and you go. So that's what I did. I got in the car, shut up, and we went. And so we go over to the mall and we're walking around and we see this, one of those stupid little things in the mall where it's like when you're like 14, 15 years old, you sit in it and you take pictures with your friends. You know, talking about the booth, and you try to get as many friends in there together as possible. It's hot. It's nasty. You're like, these aren't going to be good pictures, but let's do it because we're friends forever. BFF forever. This little caption on the side. And so we're walking by this thing, and my wife looks over at me. Oh, that'd be fun. Let's. No, it wouldn't. That's stupid. It's not fun at all. She's like, no, we'll take pictures, and we'll have them. We have a phone. Why am I paying that? This is high quality. It's in my pocket. I've already purchased it. Why would we do that? She's like, no, it'll be fine. So once again, I'm still married. I got in the booth. I thought we were tight with our money, Isabel. This seems very loose with our money. Who cares? So we get in the booth, and I do my big smile, and so I don't know if you guys saw this. It was the way that my wife actually told me that we were pregnant with our daughter, and the way that she did it, she's a genius. She's seriously way smarter than I am. I say this a lot. She's way smarter than me. I mean, like, this was like such a red flag. We've never done this in our adulthood, and then I just sit down in it. I'm like, oh, okay, you know. Like, nothing to me seems out of the ordinary. All right, we're just going to look forward now? Okay. And so this is the way that she decides to tell me that she's pregnant. And so what she does is the first one, it's the best. I should have brought it. I should have brought it to show. But the first picture, this is Mike in his old life, like just happy as a clam. Not a care in the world, you know? No kids. Not a care. Just happy. Yeah, let's go to the mall. We don't have to load anyone except for myself. But so this is Mike up top. And so this Mike's looking forward. And then the next photo down, I see she's pulling out this, like, piece of paper. And so this is the next photo is me looking at the paper going, have you ever, like, saw something and it took you, like, literally, like, 30 seconds to a minute to even process what the crap you just saw? I saw it. What? So that's that picture. It's me processing that I'm going to be a father and now everything's changed. So happy Mike, confused Mike. And the next photo was Isabel holding up the paper saying, you're going to be a father. There's a tiny huntsman on the way. Up to the camera. And I'm still, literally, it's the funniest picture. If you have me on Facebook, you should go find it. It's hilarious. I'm just looking this way. Like, literally, up in the distance, just... And it's on a schedule, right? It's like, click, 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 click. Doesn't give you time to, like, regroup. All right. Everything's done now. Everything's different. So it's like, boom, 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 boom. So the next, and then the final photo, not to get all mushy-gooshy, it's me, like, weeping. Just bump. It was a really cool photo. And so that's the way that I found out that I was going to be a dad. And if you guys haven't met her, I think I actually put a picture back there. Can you throw it up for me? This is my daughter. Aww. This is her in a bear costume. It's adorable. Aww. I see this picture and just go, aww. I don't know if there's any other parents in here. Am I the only parent? I think there's a couple of us out there now. Cool, cool, okay. I literally love her so much that I want to bite her. I have no idea why. It's the weirdest thing. I legitimately go, argh! It makes no sense. If you love someone, you don't hurt them, but I want to bite her. All the time, just, argh! And I have to, like, contain myself from biting her. Especially when she's in the bear costume. I'm like, you can bite back, you're a bear, so... Get me back if you're mad. So that's my daughter. Her name's Aria. It's pronounced Aria. Okay. That's just something. Aria? Arena? No, Aria. I didn't feel like it was that hard, but apparently it is. Aria May is her name. And so funny. And it's just been this incredible journey from when... And I hope I'm not losing anybody that's not a parent. I'm just trying to relay something that I've experienced in my life. Where you go from this place of almost just like kind of just yourself. Even inside of marriage, like you have to like try. Like, I'm going to put my wife first. But you have to like try to do it all the time. You're just like, I'm going to do this. But when you have a baby, it's way different. It's like, no, I don't even have to try. Like, you're my baby. I'm going to eat you. That's so, was that weird? Is that, that's so weird. It is weird, I agree. I wish I didn't. You'll find out when you have your baby, you're just biting them. Next time we see Kirsten, if she has a baby, we'll just see bite marks all over the baby. You were right. They're delicious. So as I went down this journey, it's all the fun mild marks. I found out I was having a baby, and then the first time you see the baby move, which was just like, I mean, surreal. Like, there's actually a baby in there. Has anybody ever seen the movie Aliens? Kind of feels like that. You're like, I hope it's a baby. could be an alien. You don't know. So you've seen the baby move for the first time, kicking your hand. Just, oh, man, it's crazy. And then I remember going to go see the baby for the first time on an ultrasound. And it was just this really surreal experience. And it's something different for men versus women. Women, you guys have the baby inside of you. You feel the baby. For me, all it is a concept. I'm gonna be a father. Like, it's just kind of out there, but I don't internalize it yet. But when I saw the baby on the screen, I'm like, that's my baby. And it takes a while to even process it and figure it out. And so just going down the way and then finding out that I was gonna have a girl, it was just, I mean, like, oh dude, I'm having a girl. Like, that's so cool. And then meeting Aria for the first time. She was born November 17th in the middle of a storm in the morning. It was really crazy. It was like bumper-to-bumper traffic on the freeway. And it was literally my worst fear in the whole world. I don't know why, but people post things on Facebook that they're not supposed to post. So one thing somebody posted was them not getting to the hospital on time and having a baby in the car. I'm like, I'm just starting my morning. I don't need to see this. First thing in the morning, throw the iPad, get out of here. So I saw this, and like my greatest fear was getting stuck in traffic, running out of gas, having a baby in the car. Like, that was my greatest fear in this whole thing. And so, of course, Aria decides to come in the middle of a storm, 8 o'clock, and our midwife was over. I had to get on I-5, and I-5 was a parking lot, just boop. Done. And so you're trying to keep calm because you're the man, right? Like, she's obviously dealing with her own stuff right now, you know? Having to, like, process that and deal with that. And I'm over here just like, everything's going to be okay. Just. It's crazy. But we inevitably make it to the hospital, and it was the saddest thing ever. In the middle of Isabel walking, I don't know if this is too much detail, but she's not in here, so whatever. If you guys narc on me, snitches get stitches. So, but anyways, so when we were getting from the car into a birthing center or whatever. In the middle of that, it's like torrential downpour. Just, like I said, middle of a storm. Power's going out, all crazy stuff. And so she gets out of the car just far enough to not get back into the car and then has a contraction. And I'm just, all right, baby. Just standing there. I can't do anything. I try to cover her with my body so the rain's not hitting her. So all this for me is it's all, like I said, it's been conceptual. It's been like an idea and seeing this all play through, it's all been like a nice thought for me, being a father. But when I actually held my baby and saw my baby, my whole world changed. It's like, this feeling, this connection to this young one is indescribable. I feel so much for you. And just like anything else in my life, it began to help me see even my Heavenly Father in a whole new light. It began to make me see my Heavenly Father in a whole new perspective. Because it even says over in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 through 8, it talks about how apparently like people were given, they weren't actually doing this, but I think it's kind of funny. They were given, they're like, you wouldn't give a rock if they wanted a loaf of bread, right? You guys remember this verse? Like, you wouldn't give them a rock. I might. Later. Here's some bread. This is a rock. I know. Got you good. It's biblical. You guys could change it now. I think it's creepy. Everybody's just staring. Oh, my. It was just for that moment or whatever. And so over in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 through 11, it talks about how much these earthly parents, us earthly parents, love our kids. How much more so does God want good things for us? How much more so does God love us? And so I feel this like crazy love and connection for this being. And you know the funny thing is about this relationship with my daughter? She hasn't done crap for me yet. Not a thing. Matter of fact, all she's done is crap on me. That's literally her whole MO. That's her whole life. She's like, and that's all she does. All day, every day. The worst is when it's one of her games, I guess. She likes to store it up. You know it's going to be bad. I remember one time asking this, well, I haven't changed the dirty diaper in a couple days. Have you? No. And we go, oh, no. It's coming. You know? One time I was super stoked. I was in a meeting, and that's when it came. And I was like, I was so thankful. I was like, sorry, I'm in a meeting. You have to deal with that by yourself. Just poop everywhere. I don't know if that's appropriate, but I just said it. So he talks more about poop than Jesus in his message. Anyways, so this little baby has done literally like nothing for me. What a selfish little baby. She's done nothing for me. But yet I love her so much. And so like I'm saying, it's like I feel this love for my baby. How much more so? How much greater? How much more does my heavenly Father look towards me with these loving eyes? When Aria came home, I just stared at her all day, every day. Literally, just the creepiest thing ever. If that was any other human being, they'd be so freaked out. And it's partly love and then partly like, are you still breathing? Like, there's always this fear. Anytime they have a really good nap, you're like, oh God, are they dead? No, okay, they're good. Hopefully she doesn't wake up. Okay. So, it's just this crazy emotional feeling that I have for my daughter. And just like I said, our Heavenly Father views us in the same way. We saw over in Psalms chapter 139 about that God knows everything about us. And He thinks about us constantly. Our Heavenly Father's thoughts for us are numerous. It says that it outnumbers the grains of sand on the seashore. Have you ever tried to count a handful of sand? No, no one has because it's stupid. There's a lot. You have way too much time, sir. Why are you counting sand? I just want to see how much God's thinking about me. He thought about me. He thought about me. He thought about me. That's how much He thinks about us. All the time. You know what's crazy is with this, we have God's undivided attention. It says over in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 9 that it talks about when we pray to Him, He hears. And Pastor actually did a whole message about this idea that even the stance of God is literally with His ear down towards us. This is like with Aria. Anytime she makes a noise, I'm just like, I'm there in a second. I'm just like, whoa, what's going on? She always has my attention. And how much more so does our Heavenly Father have our attention? He's in this position just waiting to talk to us, hear from us, be with us. This is the position of God. When you pray, He hears you, according to Isaiah. And it says that it's like His ear is turned towards you. You have God's undivided attention. Have you ever tried to talk to your parents and you know they're, no offense, Mom and Dad, Have you ever talked to your parents and you know their attention's divided? Mom, guess what I did today? Uh-huh. Trying to feed six of you fools. Okay. God, undivided. He looks at you. He hears you. He thinks about you. His thoughts towards you are numerous. He knows everything about you, and his numerous thoughts towards you are good thoughts. Are love. Because that's how much he loves us. He's in love with us. Like I'm obviously going to talk about Aria some more, so just deal with that, okay? Literally my life. I love her so much. Urgh. I think about Aria all the time. And when I see her, I was saying before, like when she was still in her mother's womb even, I thought about her. I loved her. And I couldn't explain this love and this connection. But now, like, physically holding her, it's crazy. When I first held her, I was like, I can never love anyone else this much. I thought that. Like, I can never love anyone else this much. And as time has gone on farther and farther, seriously, not to, like, obviously some days she just pisses me off. I should say that up front. Like, this guy, he doesn't sound relatable at all. Kids are the worst. Okay, some days I'm just like, oh my God, please stop crying. But my love is obviously still the same for her. And so, like I was saying, it's like I'm constantly thinking about her and God's constantly thinking about me and like I was saying, I felt like I could never love anybody else this much. In that moment, I was like, I could not feel a stronger love. And as she's 5 months today, she's getting older and older. It's like super surreal. Yeah, come back to me when she's two. Boo. Like, you don't know nothing. She can't talk to you yet. She hasn't called you stupid to your face yet. Come back to me then, Pastor Man. I'm still blissfully ignorant over here, okay? So just let me be there, all you jaded people. Just let me stay here a little while longer with her just sitting there going, ah. And so I look at her and I, like I said, I love her so much. And seriously, month after month, I look at her. I'm like, holy crap. I think I love you more. I'm serious. Like, it's the most surreal thing. It's like, I love her so much. And I think to myself, how could I ever love anyone else this much? And I've heard testimony after testimony of people that have multiple children. It's like, no, it's just like your heart grows. It's the weirdest thing. It's like your heart grows. And our Heavenly Father, according to John 14, verse 2, talks about how in the Father's house there's many rooms. You guys remember this? And that this is actually a picture of God's heart. That inside of God's hearts, there are many rooms. And there's a specific room just for me. Michael Jeffrey Huntsman. There's a room. That is my room. No one else gets it. Stay out of my room. That's mine. There's a specific room for me in God's heart. Specific. And the crazy thing is, no one in all the universe will ever fill that void, that space, but me. That's mine. That's my part in God's heart. It's very specific. In the same way, everyone has a specific place in God's heart, in the Father's heart. If I have another child and another child and another child, hopefully not. Two, maybe three. Six, really, Mom? Let's get realistic. We still want cable, okay? sorry, we had the twins. Something had to go. Dang it! Why'd you have to have the twins? Love you guys. The cable, I mean, it's nice. I miss it. So this, like I said, there's like, even if I had another child, what I've heard testimony, it's like your heart just expands. God's heart expands with every one of his children. They're constantly, Beth, are you really calling me right now? Oh, sisters. God. Beth's calling me, guys. Like, what the heck? You shoot her text, call her dumb, all right? I love her. God loves her. Has a special place in his heart for her, I guess. I got a special place in my heart, too. God has a specific place for each and every one of you in his heart. That's the Father's heart for humanity, for us. And no one ever will ever fill that spot. Ever. If you ask any parent and they said, well, four of them made it to heaven, but the fifth didn't. I'm like, well, four out of five ain't bad. See you later, Tommy. Like, whatever. That's really sad, right? No, because that's how big his heart is for us. That's how much he loves us. Our heavenly Father loves us so much. How much more so? So not only do we have God's undivided attention, we have the Father's specific love for us. We have a specific love. Dean, if you guys don't know, I think he goes by Reverend Dean, Pastor Dean, something. He's a dude. He used to be here. Now he's gone. So we miss him. Dean was a man that was a part of our church, our family for a long time. And he actually went home to be with the Lord. And they came back, which is like just crazy. And his testimony, one of his testimonies was this. He says, when he was with the Father, he said, when I was with the Father, let me read this so I make sure I don't mess this up. When I was with the Father, it was like there was no one else around. Specific love. Fatherly love. It was like no one else was around. It was like I was the only one he loved. That's how specific his love is for you. Now, mind you, this man was with the Father, and this is his experience. He's like, I can't even describe it. But I felt that when I was with him, no one else was around, and I was the only one he loved. That's the Father's love for you. And this isn't just an idea, concept. This is truth. God looks at you specifically and loves you. More than you could ever ask, think, or imagine, God has great plans for you. His thoughts are towards you. He loves you specifically. And I think sometimes inside of church, and even with some different verbal context, we just think, well, God so loved the world. I mean, like, not me, like, the whole deal. God loved you specifically. It's not like, I love my family. No, I love Aria, and I love Isabel. I can say I love my family, but no, I specifically love them. It's not an idea. It's not a concept. God loves you specifically. Thinks about you specifically. And you have his undivided attention. He always thinks about you. His thoughts are towards you. Do you know why the Father loves us? It's because we are his sons and we are his daughters. That's the only reason he loves us. That's the only criteria for his love. To be a son and to be a daughter. Whoa. You're telling me to get undivided attention from God. It's just because of who I am? Yeah. It's no special formula. It's no special task. But here's the thing is, is like we read, if we really got the concept of love in our lives, of God's love for us, like we just read over in 1 John, we would love each other. If we could really understand and grasp His love for us, it would change the way that we interacted with each other. I was just listening this morning to a sermon. His name's Pastor Stephen Furtick. If you guys ever heard of him, he's awesome. Just a great communicator if you guys ever want to check him out. And he was talking about how so many times we think of faith is like this is just how you do faith. But if faith doesn't transform the way that you behave, did you actually ever really believe? And the example he gave is there's this thing, it's this concept of functional fitness. And this is the concept of it. It's like you might be working out, but if there's no improvement, then you're kind of spinning your wheels. Because you're not actually doing anything. There should be progress, right? You should be moving forward. And I think sometimes we just sit. We're just like, well, I'm learning about faith. Well, unless there's progress, unless there's moving forward, which is this, loving each other, then you might not actually understand or really grasp or hold tight the truth of His love for you. Because that's where it starts. According to 1 John chapter 4, it says, it's not because we loved Him, it's because He first loved us. When I saw the ultrasound of my daughter in the womb, I had so much love for her. And she didn't even know I existed. She had no idea. She didn't know anything about me. But I loved her so much. She knew not anything of me. Because it has nothing to do with that. I loved her first. Just like our Heavenly Father, He first loved us. Now this should change and transform us into the way that we interact and love with each other. God's love for you is solely based on the fact that you're His son and you're His daughter. There's this the story found over in Luke chapter 8. You guys have heard it many times before, but I just want to key in on it a little bit. In Luke chapter 8, we see this picture of Jesus being hurried along because there's this young woman who was just 12 years old and she was dying. And the father goes to Jesus and says, please come heal my daughter. So we could see in this scene, in this picture that there's time is of the essence. Like, this needs to happen now. She's going to die. She's gonna die. Jesus, we need you now. And so, Jesus begins to head that way. And obviously, because Jesus is just, you know, the Messiah, right? Everyone's like super stoked on Him, you know. There's this massive crowd that's surrounding Him. And now, we think, like, a crowd. Oh, like 40, 50 people, and they're just like really smushed on them. No, when we see this picture, there's thousands of people in a small area trying to get to Jesus. And he's being thrust upon and just squished. A squish Messiah. That's really funny for me. I don't know why. Squish Messiah. I'm the Messiah. And I thought it was really funny too. I'm just kind of sad that nobody else really laughed that much. He's just shuffling Messiah. Every day I'm shuffling. And so there's so many people that are trying to get to Jesus and we see that this, now we catch up in verse 42, halfway down. Jesus went with him. He was surrounded by the crowd. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with a constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately the bleeding stopped. He said, who touched me? Who touched me? Everyone denied it. And Peter said, seriously? Who touched you? Are you for real right now? Come on, you're Jesus. You should know lots of people are touching you right now. So, Master, the whole crowd is pressing up against you. But Jesus said, someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me. When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. Now, I know I can't really speak to this yet because my daughter's so young. She can't come to me yet and tug on my jacket. Very soon. It's happening way too fast. But I can imagine if little Aria came up to me and tugged on my jacket. Said, Daddy, I'm hungry. Anything you want. Ruth, Chris, let's go. Thanks, Daddy. This is delicious. Daddy can't afford it. If Aria came up to me and said, Dad, I need something. Dad, I'm hungry. Dad, I'm thirsty. Dad, I'm tired. Dad, I'm weary. That's a really weird way. Dad, I'm weary. Super weird. You're Isabel's, not mine. I don't even know what that means, Aria. Of course you don't. You're stupid. Don't talk to me like that. That was an interesting turn. So Aria, okay, back to the sentimental part, okay. So, if Aria came up to me and said, Dad, I need something. Or if Aria came up to me and said, Dad, I'm hurting. I'm in pain. You better believe I would stop everything and give everything for that need. In a minute. Whew, because I love her. Oh, baby, whatever you need, you got it. And we see exactly this. I'm in pain. I need healing. But look at her response to it. It says that she trembled in fear. She was trembling. Ooh, I can't be discovered because I had a need. Ooh, I can't be found out because I had a need. She hid. She stayed back. Until finally, she couldn't stay hidden any longer. She said, that was me. I think for us, a lot of times, we might feel the same way with our relationship with God, where whether we realize it or not, we think that, I can't ask Him for that. I put myself in this situation. I did this to myself. I can't bother Father. I can't disturb Him. And if I ever found out that Aria didn't want to come to me because she feared me, she was afraid of what I would do, or it would break me. I wonder how often our Father's heart is broken because we think, oh, I did this to myself. I gotta fix this myself. I gotta try hard enough. I gotta work hard enough. And He's saying, no. And He stops everything. He's like, no, somebody touched me. And He looks around, and finally she comes forward and she says, it was me. I did it. And how does He respond to her? He responds with this. He says, daughter. He says, daughter. I couldn't even imagine how she felt in that moment when she had so much shame because of this issue, this flow of blood. She wasn't even supposed to be around anyone. She's unworthy. She's unclean. She's not good enough to be here with the rest of us. And the way that Jesus responds is not, it's all right. Okay, cool. Don't let it happen again. Shuffle, shuffle. The way he responds is with this verbiage, daughter. When you felt so excluded, so to the side, Jesus looks at you and says, son, daughter, you are mine. This is how God views you. Remember, specifically, God sees you with such love and such, so much more than I could ever even think. So much greater. This is love. He says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Look at this. Go in peace. What I would like to do this morning as we wrap up this conversation, this talk, is I want to give some people an opportunity to respond to this right here. Peace. Rest. That, listen, we're in a fallen society. We're in a fallen system. You're not good enough. You suck. I suck. We are never going to be good enough. But be in peace. Because you are a son. You are a daughter. When God sees you, when you are in Christ, it says, when you are in Christ, we are the righteousness of him. When God sees you, when you accept Jesus, all he sees is his son and his daughter. When I see Aria, I visibly, physically see myself in her. I see that. And when God sees you, when you accept Christ, this is what he sees. He sees Christ in you. He sees you perfect, blameless before him. Go in peace. You're going to screw up tomorrow. You're probably going to screw up later this week. That doesn't change your position. That doesn't change your status. You are a son. You are a daughter. It's not works. You can never do enough. It says in the word that our goodness, our really hard works before God is like filthy rags. Look what I present. Cool. It doesn't change who you are to me. I've already loved you with everything that I am. If Aria came to me and brought me, once again later, she's still a baby. She's 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, brought, I made this for you, Daddy. You better believe it's probably going to look like crap, right? It's not going to look nice. She's not a master. She's 3 years old. She just smushed this thing together. And then she brought it to me. Thank you for bringing that. I already love you, and I still love you. I always love you. Your Heavenly Father thinks the same way about you. He still loves you. Look what I made for you, Dad. That's awesome. I love you. I'll always love you. So can we just stand up as we close? It's not about how much we try to earn God's love. It's way, way more about his love for you than how much you try to love him. We love because he first loved us. And as you go out today and later this week, I pray that this is a place of peace and rest for you, son, daughter. That he sees you and he loves you. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to give an opportunity, a call to this. And I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you. I'm not going to do anything to make you feel awkward. I just want to give an opportunity to respond to maybe something that God's dealing with in your own heart. Maybe something that you've been struggling with. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed in this place this morning, if first off, we're sons and daughters because we accepted Christ into our hearts. That's what puts us in right position with him. And so this morning, what I want to do before we even do anything else is I want to give an opportunity to anyone that has never accepted, or maybe you're just currently not walking with him. Anyone that needs to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and become a son and a daughter in the kingdom of heaven forever, eternity. If that's you, can you just raise your hand so I know who I'm talking to? Is there anybody here this morning for that? That's great. Thank you, Jesus. And then finally, this morning, if you just need some peace in your life, maybe you seem like you're in a place of turmoil, and I don't know what it was, but growing up, if I ever had a nightmare, I just need to climb in mom and dad's bed and everything just seemed like it was okay. I'd be just so afraid and just like this woman trembling. But if I got in mom and dad's bed, I mean, I'm safe, I'm secure, it's peace there. So this morning, what I want to do is give an opportunity, if that's you and you feel like, man, I've just been going through some stuff. I can't even tell you the things that I've had to deal with the last week, month, year. And you need some peace. You just need to crawl in your Heavenly Father's bed and just be in that place of comfort. If that's you and you say, Pastor Mike, I just need to rest in God's arms. I just need to take some time. I just want to pray with you. If that's you, can you just raise your hand? Is there anybody here this morning? That's great. Anybody else? I see a couple of hands. Anybody else? Awesome. Anybody else? That's great. So what I want to do is I just want to pray for you right where you're at. If that's all right. Just receive this. If you saw somebody next to you, raise their hand. Maybe you could lay a hand on them. Let's be a church together. Let's pray for one another. Let me pray over you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for the ones that responded to this word, that we just need some peace in the midst of chaos. I thank you, Lord, that you begin to work on their hearts, Lord. Begin to help them even just realize their position, their place with you, Lord. That they are a son, that they are a daughter, that they are truly loved. And that your thoughts are good towards them and numerous towards them, Lord. Let them be in a place of peace in the midst of chaos, Lord. Lord, let them have such great faith and assurance in you, Lord. Lord, begin to reveal yourself even more mighty in their situations in their lives, Lord. Put your hand in those situations. Bring the dead things back to life in those homes, in those situations, Lord. We thank you, Father, for everybody in this place. I thank you, Lord, that they are blessed. I thank you that they are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and that wherever they go, Lord, they are an example of you, of your love. Let your love just transform our lives and in every interaction, Lord. We love you, Heavenly Father, in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Be blessed this week, guys.